Swing and a miss. He's through seven, and his ERA now is below two. Popped him up. Baez and Rizzo in foul territory, and it's Baez to end the eighth. No flipping. We go to the ninth. A drive to right, and it's gone. Oh, so close. And if you had to bet that the Cardinals were going to get a hit tonight, a home run would probably be what you would bet.
I mean, that's what it's like for St. Louis nowadays. You just got to be happy you didn't get no hit by Kyle Hendricks. That was the first game of the three-game set last September. I mean, I think the Cubs are going to, I don't know, go 18-0 against the Cardinals this year, or do they play 19 times? If it's 19, I'm going 19-0.
I feel like you're just trolling right now. I think that's what we call it.
Well, we do have Chris Ranji on hold right now. I don't even want to put him on just, I don't want to even let him defend, because, you know, I've been listening to Ranji so long, White Sox guy from St. Louis. I know this guy hates the Cubs. I know it's just like deep in his, he just just absolutely hates him. And like, this is Chris Ranji. Welcome to 720 WGN.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I do not hate the Cubs.
Oh, come on. You have to. You're like, why? Well, because you're like, you're more professional than I give you credit for.
That's exactly right. I am more professional than you give me credit for.
Yeah, Chris,
I don't really had a hate for them. Not really.
Oh, well, how about this? I'm looking at your Twitter account. You can follow Chris Ranji on Twitter at Chris Ranji. And I see that you retweeted Jeff Dickerson, but not Adam Hoge.
Oof.
Your response to that.
I didn't see it. Hold on a second. Hold on. I did not see your tweet. Did you put me in it?
I added Adam? You. I mentioned you, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure you did. If you had, I would have seen it, Adam.
Okay. So you're calling me a liar.
I'm totally calling you a liar because I think you're a liar.
Well, I don't know. 27 minutes ago, at Adam Hoge, it says big baseball show today, 3:35, at Chris Ranji.
Listen, Chris, don't.
Oh, you know why? I'll tell you why I didn't see it, because I haven't checked my phone in 27 minutes because I've been ironing pants. So I didn't get a chance to see it.
So I'm assuming you're not at the stadium yet.
Hold on a second. And I am totally not joking. I was definitely ironing pants.
Okay.
It's an upper-level move by Chris Ranji and an ironing of pants.
Yeah. I'm not a slob like you two, Jamokes.
Yeah, I have not.
I'm going to be presentable when I leave the house.
If I'm getting a pants iron, it's going to the dry cleaners. There's a 0% chance that I'm getting that done myself, which is one of the reasons why I'm hurting financially. Go ahead, Jared.
Let me just, Ranji, it's Jared Payton. I'm in the room. There's three of us, so I'm glad you singled out those two as being the sloppy Jamokes. I pretty much always stay clean. But
Jared, I know. Listen to me, man. I know you're not. I know that you take care of yourself when you leave the house.
I appreciate it, man. And follow me on Twitter, because I just followed you.
Okay. Well, listen, if you say something on Twitter and you mention me, I will definitely retweet that.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got the Twitter business out of the way here. Yeah. Now we can begin the interview. Chris,
we haven't started yet?
No, we haven't.
Isn't it?
We're not even on the air, actually, as far as I know. Chris, first of all, congratulations on the new gig in St. Louis. I know it's pretty cool. Got to be pretty cool for you to go back home, and you do an afternoon drive, so love you for that. Congrats. What's it like? What's it been so far as you attack this season now? I guess you're more covering the Cardinals than anything else. And you obviously were still here in Chicago last fall when the Cubs won the World Series. It's got to be a little weird for you.
I kind of feel like I've been attached, even though I really wasn't attached so much to the Cubs. And we had them on the station, but it wasn't like I was at the park every day. Although I lived directly across the street from Wrigley Field for about the last 2 years. So I feel like I've gone from three different teams in like 4 years, you know what I mean? Like being closely associated with the White Sox for so long, and then being on the Cubs flagship for a couple of years, and now coming back here. It's kind of, I mean, it's different, you know? I feel like I'm a nomad. I feel like I don't have a home yet.
You're gonna settle in. You'll by May. Yep. By May, when we have you on, you'll be like, "Yeah, that's correct. I actually do hate the Cubs. I think that'll give me one month of the season." Hey, is everything I read about the Cardinals these days is that Dexter Fowler is just making this big move in the clubhouse. He's keeping things light. He's playing the music. He's walking in with attitude, and people are loving him. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, sure seems that way. I mean, you guys know how he is. He's one of those people that has an infectious personality, and his teammates are drawn to him, and he pretty much immediately fit in there. And in fact, I can't think of a place that he could go to where he would not fit in right away. And if he didn't, there's probably something wrong with the makeup of that team, because he's just, you know, he's a great teammate. That's what he's been known for pretty much every stop he's gone to. Now, I mean, I don't know what that means for the Cardinals as far as performance goes. I mean, it's certainly better if everybody is getting along, I think, in the clubhouse. I don't think it necessarily leads to wins, but it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? Sure. And the Cardinals had a last year, and I think it kind of comes from the top. You know, Mike Matheny is known as a very, well, he's got a tight sphincter, you know, like he's not somebody who's very loose in the clubhouse. And I think that sometimes that can wear on players, and he's tried to make an effort to be better this year. And again, I mean, it really comes down to what does it mean? You know, what does it mean for the team? Will they get like another two or three wins because of it, or will it affect them at all? And I don't really know. I just know that for right now, everybody kind of enjoys being around each other. And I think, you know, at least it can't hurt. It can't hurt that everybody's getting along and that the clubhouse is a lot more relaxed than it has been in the past.
I mean, that to me, it's a big deal, because you start to look at teams and how they're constructed. And if you don't have a good clubhouse or locker room, things can start to spiral out of control when things go wrong. But you look on the other side with this Cubs team, and coming back, defending the world championship, coming into this season now, you look at them, Ranji, they still seem to, from the outside looking in, that just because you win doesn't mean that you let off the gas. This team still seems to have their foot on the pedal and their eye on the prize for the end of the season.
You talk about the Cubs? Yeah. I mean, they're good, and they haven't gotten any worse. I mean, they lost Dexter, but you cannot say that they are noticeably a worse team this year than they were the year before, unless you have a bunch of guys that unexpectedly just have down seasons, which, you know, that does happen in baseball, so it's not like completely out of the question. But there's no doubt that they're the class of the division, and really probably baseball. I mean, you can, you know, maybe make an argument that Boston is better now that they've got Chris Sale, and I don't think they're done dealing. Like, I mean, I think they'll probably eventually pick up a starter there, but the Cubs are, I think, the best team in the National League, and they might even be the best team in baseball still. So I don't, it's a great time to be a Cubs fan. And this is, in fact, there probably has never been a better time to be a Cubs fan.
Chris Ranji here with us on the beat on 720 WGN. So with that in mind, what has been your sense of what's going on in St. Louis in reaction to, is there even a reaction? I mean, is there a reaction or added pressure from the fan base or the market in St. Louis after seeing what the Cubs did? And, I mean, where does Mike Matheny stand right here as you look at it going into this season?
I don't think there's added pressure. I mean, there really shouldn't be. They're not a team that's had trouble winning historically. So, I mean, if they do feel some kind of pressure, I think that's crazy. I mean, you should probably really just enjoy the success you've had for several decades and try to rebuild and get better. Though I shouldn't say rebuild, because it's not really where they are at the moment. But I mean to try and get back to being one of the top teams in the National League. I think you have to give that a little bit of time and just recognize where you are. Now they could win a wild card this year, but I do not at all expect them to win a division, and I don't really think anybody here does. I mean, maybe the team itself, but you know how players are. They always kind of assume they're going to win, and they have to. I mean, that's their job. So aside from the team itself, I don't know that anybody here locally, anybody of right mind anyway, I don't think anybody here really expects that they're better than the Cubs or that they're going to win the division instead of Chicago. I mean, I think people here know what the Cardinals are. They know they're good enough to compete. They know they're good enough to win a wild card, but they are not better than the Cubs, and they understand that.
What I like about the Cardinals is their outfield defense. You basically have two center fielders playing out there, so I would think they're going to run down balls well. I think the big concern is What do you think the staff looks like right now? Because Adam Wainwright, are you expecting much? I like that Yachty's back on the 3-year contract. I mean, that makes sense to me. You're not going to let that guy go. But I would think that the weakness is the pitching. Is that fair?
Here's what I'll say. I'm concerned about Wainwright because he hasn't. And of course, when it comes to veteran players, veteran pitchers too, you don't really worry about what their starts are like in spring training because, you know, I mean, it's spring training. But he did have a couple of lousy starts, and it didn't look like, from all the reports, it didn't look like he had command of his breaking stuff. Now, I don't know. I guess we'll find out when the regular season starts. But the only thing that really concerns me for them is injury for him, or if Lance Lynn isn't able to stay fully healthy this year. Michael Wacha is coming back from an injury, and the most likely scenario, I think, is that he gives them about 150, 160, and if they're really lucky, like 170 in terms of innings. They should be okay. They're not a stellar pitching staff, but Carlos Martinez is really, really good. So they've got him at the top, and, I mean, you know how it is in baseball. You don't have to have five great starters. You have one really good one, hopefully a couple of good ones, and then everybody else, if they're steady and your offense is reasonable, you can win a bunch of ball games. Their problem last year, more than anything, was defense. They were a terrible defensive team, and they were a terrible base-running team. So I don't know how much better they are. You mentioned Dexter Fowler being in center, and Randall Grichuk, who had played out there, is not any longer. So, I mean, I hope their outfield defense is better because it was lousy in 2016. And if it's that bad and they keep giving up runs and giving up outs, then they're going to have another pretty long year. You know, I don't know how much progress you can really make in one spring training and with one free agent acquisition, but if there's any kind of significant improvement, I think, like, and I don't mean they have to go from like the 29th defense in baseball to number 5. I just mean if they can get like mid-range where they're not killing themselves every night defensively, I think they'll be an improved team overall.
Chris, you spent 10 years doing pre and post for the White Sox. What is your what? Yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, don't be sorry. It was fun.
Well,
congratulations.
Have you been one of the guys who screened your phone calls? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Great job, by the way, Adam. Really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes we're doing it on purpose, I think.
Oh, I know you were.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What has been your reaction to this sudden change in direction this offseason with the White Sox?
I think it was time for it to happen. I am not as bullish on them. I didn't think that they should have done it like 4 years ago. I mean, really, I guess you could probably go back to like 2007. That was really the first time that people started talking about, well, you know, like the diehard fans, you know, those that are more cynical were back then. And you might have been one of those people, Adam. I don't remember. But those folks at the time were like, you know what, let's tear this thing down and start over now. And that was like a year after winning the World Series. And I didn't really think it was time to do that then. And I actually didn't think that 3 years ago when they had Chris Sale and they had Jose Quintana, I didn't think it was time to do that either. The problem is you had to build around those guys, and they did not build around them. They did not build around Abreu or Sale or Quintana, and those are three of the best players in baseball. And if you can't build around them and it takes you 2 to 3 years and you are in the same exact position you were in 3 years before that, then you got to do something drastic. So it's the right move for them now. I think they had an opportunity. They had a window. I mean, they had a window in like 2013 where they could have really started to make that team good, but they failed on it. They just, you know, they whiffed. It didn't happen. And so now that you had those guys who were not going to be on a winning team for at least a couple of seasons, I mean, they had no choice but to move Sale. And they don't have a choice but to move Quintana. And it's obviously not going to happen right now, but before this deadline approaches and, you know, at the end of July, I mean, they've got to. And I think they totally understand that.
Would Hawk Harrelson rather be stranded on a ship at sea or be the voice of the Cubs?
I don't know what his maritime skills are, so I don't know. I got to think about that.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what? I don't think he's not a. Does he hate them? I don't feel like he's as bad with Cubs hatred as maybe like Farmio is. Farmio hates the Cubs.
Yeah, I would agree. Farmio's worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of. I mean, there are people in that organization that really hate the Cubs. They kind of mirror their fan base, but. I don't really know. I don't talk to Hawk that much, you know. So I never got his full take on the Cubs. He always seemed to be pretty diplomatic whenever I talk to him.
I think he said that he was rooting for them last year in the playoffs. If I remember,
okay. Right. Some of my favorite Hawk Harrelson calls around Cubs Sox games is when Aramis Ramirez would hit a grand slam and he'd say absolutely nothing, and then he'd say 4-0 Cubs.
You apparently don't watch a lot of White Sox because that's every game that happens. That's every team. That's not like he's extra mad because it's the Cubs. He just, yeah. I mean, Adam knows this. That dude, if he's upset and it doesn't matter who they're playing, if something like that happens, he will go silent for many minutes.
Chris, one of the best examples that I remember watching a game with you was the Jim Thome walk-off in Minnesota when Thome was on the Twins, not on the White Sox. After he left. And
yeah.
It was like 40 seconds off fireworks.
I think we timed it. It was like 2 minutes where no one said anything in that booth.
You know what? That is not unusual. I mean, there have been a lot. I don't know any broadcaster in the country that is, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's just he's very unique in that way. I don't know any broadcaster in the country who is that upset when the team loses. You know, I mean, he means it. I don't think every broadcaster means it like that guy does. There really isn't anybody like him in that regard.
I think there's something. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you something. We'll go back to the Cubs for a second, and I will say this. Do you realize that maybe one of my top Not maybe. One of my top five nights in Chicago was Game 7. I mean, I had so much fun that night because I was watching the game with all my friends. And like I said, I lived right by the ballpark at the time. And, you know, we probably had like 40 or 50 people over at the house who were all Cubs fans. And just watching them get to celebrate it and then, you know, having the lead and they were all excited, kind of knowing what was coming. Then they lost the lead and the anguish and then getting the lead back. Like, that was awesome for me. I mean, I'm dead serious. That was one of my top five nights in Chicago.
I still have post-traumatic stress from the whole thing. Honestly, I mean, Comcast Sports, I just did that whole thing, Rain Man, and they went through the whole night. I was feeling like sick to my stomach going through it again.
Yeah.
I mean, so
Well, you're a Sox fan, right?
No. I'm a diehard Cubby. At least, you know.
Stick to your stomach with nerves.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was at the game. I'm sitting next to Kevin Powell. He's you know, once Fowler hits the home run, it's over, man. You've got it. Then it's 5-1. You've got this. I'm like, dude, they're the Cubs. You have to understand. I know they don't feel like the Cubs right now, but they're the Cubs. And when it happened and when – listen, Kipnis is shot down the right field line. That thing
was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my computer packed up. I had everything packed up. I was standing in the corner, like with one half of one eye open, just like this is what's going to happen. And then it didn't happen. All right.
Well, I mean, there are two things that night, and real quick, I know you're going to let me go, but there are two things at night that happened when they tied the game up. I was sitting on the couch next to a friend of mine, and I looked at her and I said this, and I whispered it because I didn't want anybody to hear me. She's like a Tigers fan. She didn't care. So I said, they're going to lose this game. I mean, after that happened, it just seemed like so perfect that would happen, that they would lose it like that. But, you know, hell, they didn't. And, you know, reading along on Twitter during that game, when it was getting late, I can't even tell you. I mean, I'm sure you guys did the same thing, or you know, maybe you checked and to see what people were saying. But there were people who had no rooting interest, who were saying stuff like, "I don't care about either of these teams, but I've never been so nervous watching a baseball game in my life." And I think that happened for a lot of people with, you know, that don't have a personal connection to the Cubs or Cleveland. But it that's just how it felt.
My wife said that.
Yeah, it wasn't just for you. It wasn't for Cubs fans. I'm telling you, man, that game made baseball fans nervous. I mean, if you were a Rays fan, you were probably sweating bullets.
And I think it goes beyond baseball fans because, like, you can't get my wife to stay up past 10 to watch any sporting event. And she said she was up till the end at 1 a.m., like, well, I guess it was like midnight, but just hanging on every pitch.
It was unbelievable.
Chris, it's great being able to have you on the show. Appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Congrats on your success, Chris.
Congrats, man.
Thanks. I'm going to go retweet Jared real quick. I'll be back.